The words of the introit are, "Give peace, O Lord, to them that patiently wait for thee." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Our Lady appeared to the three Fatima children, she did two things of great importance. First, she showed them a terrifying vision of hell to reveal the horrific suffering that sin causes. And second, she gave them what has come to be known as the Fatima prayer. She told them to say a prayer at the end of each decade of the Rosary. This prayer goes like this: O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. The Mass of today in so many places speaks to us about peace. The greatest peace which we can have is peace for our souls. But the idea of hell, the place of everlasting punishment, is very disturbing to many souls. We know from our religion that those who die in the state of unrepented mortal sin, they go to hell, the place of everlasting punishment and suffering. To show why God has warned us about the punishment of hell, I will retell you the events of Prophet Jonas in the Old Testament. God told Jonas to go to Nineveh and preach penance to the inhabitants of that city. Nineveh was the capital of the pagan kingdom of Assyria, which was the greatest empire of those days. The people of Nineveh, who numbered almost 1 million people, they were proud and immoral. The wickedness of the people of Nineveh had provoked the anger of God, and so he said to Jonas, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach in it, for the wickedness thereof is come up before me." When Jonas entered the city, he walked a whole day through the streets, calling out as he went, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed." The people of Nineveh were struck with fear, knowing how guilty they were. And a miracle happened. A general fast was declared throughout the whole city. The king himself put on sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he and all his people, from the mightiest to the least, did penance in order to appease the anger of God. Because of their repentance, God had mercy on the people and spared the city. He told Jonas, "And shall not I spare Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons that know not how to distinguish between their right hand and their left, and many beasts?" Whenever you think about the threat and punishment of hell, I would want you to remember this story of Jonas and Nineveh. Notice, it was through God's own prophet that he proclaimed a definite punishment. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. No ifs or buts or howevers. And the people were horrified of this message and begged God's mercy on them. But when 40 days were over, God did not destroy the city. So what happened here? Did God change his mind? No, God didn't change his mind, but man changed his conduct. Right from the beginning, it was God's intention to be merciful. He proclaimed the punishment in order that he might be able to show mercy. God threatened to punish the Ninevites, but for the purpose of bringing them to repentance. This way, in his mercy, he would take away the punishment which his justice had threatened them. This story shows not only that God is pleased with penance, but also to whom he shows mercy. Whom did God mean by those that know not how to distinguish between their right hand and their left? He meant little children under the age of reason. It was as if he had said, "I will have compassion on this great city in which are 120,000 innocent children who have not committed any actual sin." Furthermore, God showed mercy even to the beasts in Nineveh, for these too were his creatures. How good it would be if we would take pity on animals and refrain from ill-treating them. The faith and repentance of the Ninevites was very edifying and even marvelous. Despite the wonderful words and deeds of prophets such as Elias, Isaiah, and other great prophets of the people of God, most of them remained impenitent. And then God turned to the pagan Assyrians, and these showed more goodwill and faith than the chosen people. The Ninevites believed the word of God as soon as Jonas announced it to them. Our Lord himself held up the Ninevites as an example to the hard-hearted Israelites when he said, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and will condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." How sad would it be for us Catholics if we allow ourselves to be outdone in faith and penance by the pagans. So that is the point of the fear of hell, to save us from there. We are saved by God's mercy, and we receive this mercy by acts of penance and reparation. I want to remind you, especially you young people, that it is perfectly possible to live throughout your whole life without ever committing a mortal sin. It's hard, but with the grace of God, which we get from prayer and the sacraments, it is possible. Our Lord said, "You therefore are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." He would never have given us this command had he not also given us the graces to do it. It is even possible to live throughout your whole life without ever committing a deliberate venial sin, though this is a grace given to only very few chosen souls, like Saint Therese of Lisieux. The motto of Saint Dominic Savio was death rather than sin. Whenever we commit a sin, whether a big one or a small one, it is from our own will, and we cannot blame the devil or the world for it. It is impossible to live throughout the life without committing at least indeliberate venial sin. Only Our Lady had this privilege. If we have some temporal punishment due to sin from which we haven't done penance yet here on earth, we will be purified of those in purgatory. But it is not some necessity that you must go to purgatory after your death. The normal life of a Catholic is that he does penance for his sins while he is here on earth, and at his death he is taken directly to heaven. Did you notice in today's Gospel how our Lord first forgave the sins of the paralytic man and then healed him of his handicap so that he could walk again? This is exactly what happens when you gain an indulgence. The eternal punishment of hell is remitted, and also the temporal punishment due to our sins is taken away. To the end, if you worry that you have not done much penance in your life, I wish to say that even one heroic act of reparation is enough to absolve all guilt and remove all pain. One of my favorite saint stories is told in Cardinal Manning's book, The Love of Jesus to Penitents. He writes that Saint Vincent Ferrer once received a great and habitual sinner to hear his confession. This man had stayed away from church and the sacraments for years. He confessed many mortal sins and expected a heavy penance in return. But to his astonishment, Saint Vincent merely said, "For your penance, fast every Friday for 1 year." In those late medieval times, this was not considered a very heavy penance. The man was shocked and said, "But Father, didn't you hear the amount of my wickedness? You can't possibly assign me such a light penance." "In that case," Saint Vincent said, "I will make it even lighter. Instead, for your penance, recite the 7 penitential psalms." And when the man still tried to object, Saint Vincent replied, "You, my son, you need to start to trust in the great mercy and forgiveness of God." And then he said, "Your penance shall be 1 Our Father, 1 Hail Mary, and 1 Glory Be." And that night the penitent sinner died, and Saint Vincent saw him in vision ascending directly to the heavenly glory. The love of God had broken up the fountains of love and sorrow in this man's heart, and his soul had gained peace under the compassion of Jesus. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.